Iambic Audiobooks and Akashic present The Failure by James Greer, read by Tighe Hines. The failure is unaware of himself as a failure. To fail at failure, even to be aware of having failed, could be construed as a kind of success. G.M. Holliston, The Science of Fear. Chapter 1. How Guy Forget ended up in a coma. Guy Forget, careening across Larkin Heights in a stolen Mini Cooper, suffused with bloodlust and bearing a grin full of teeth, failed to hear the polyphonic belling of his cell phone. This was a mistake for two reasons. Had he heard his phone and answered the call, Guy would have learned three things: that his wealthy, boorish father had died of a heart attack, that his wealthy, boorish father's will had provided Guy with exactly enough cash, after taxes, to fund the prototype for Pandemonium, and that his wealthy, boorish father had included in his will a personal message for Guy to the effect that, despite their differences and their less than communicative relationship over the years, Guy's wealthy, boorish father did, in his own unspectacular way, love his second son. Had he heard and answered his phone, Guy would also have been distracted sufficiently from his murderous thoughts to lay off the accelerator, and would therefore have slowed down sufficiently to avoid the near-fatal collision awaiting him around the fourth curve of the bendy road down which he was driving too fast. Because he did not hear or answer his phone, Guy Forget was in a coma from which he was not expected to recover. His surviving relatives, his mother Laura, tense, brittle-framed, already shaken by the recent death of her husband, who, even though she hated him, represented a kind of vital force that helped make sense of her life, and his older brother Marcus, balding, self-absorbed professor of theoretical physics at MIT, whose adherence to the code of abstraction respected by all professors of theoretical physics everywhere, extended to forgetting, from time to time, his wife Constance's existence, were divided on the question of whether to pull Guy's plug and end what remained of his corporeal viability, or, to be plain, of himself. Laura was a seriously lapsed Roman Catholic, who felt a distinct unease at ending Guy's life, without at least asking him, as she put it to Marcus over coffee at the hospital commissary in Los Angeles. "Mom, he's in a coma." "That's the whole sort of coma issue," replied Marcus patiently. He was used to treating everyone, especially his mother, as if they were children, and needed to have even the most basic concepts explained simply.
"People come out of comas?"
"Not people with Guy's level of brain activity, or inactivity, more precisely. He's a vegetable. There's nothing about Guy that makes him human anymore."
"Mrs. Sanderson said that she read about this one."
"Mrs. Sanderson is not a doctor. People magazine is not, I'm pretty sure, a peer-reviewed medical journal."
"Those doctors don't get everything right. What about AIDS?"
"What about AIDS?"
"Well, they were wrong. It doesn't even exist."
"I'm sorry?"
"It's like you live in a hole. You didn't hear about this?"
"Mom, that's so utterly bizarre, I'm going to refrain from comment."
"Saying that doesn't make it any less true."
"I suppose, in crazy world." Marcus reached across the table and wrapped his mother's tiny hands in his own, almost invisibly pale palms. "Whatever there was of Guy, his essence, has dispersed back into the universe. If it's any comfort, recent research has led some in the scientific community to believe that quantum consciousness exists independent of physical being, at very basic levels, on the Planck scale. In that sense..."
"Marcus," interrupted Laura, "I don't want to pull the plug, I just don't."
Marcus shrugged. "Okay." He looked at his watch. "I've still got time to catch the red-eye back to Boston. You staying, or..."
"God, no."
End of chapter 1.